I think that every good writer is pretty much only a good writer because they had someone who was really good at editing out the stuff that didn't need to be in there to tell the story. Really good books. Have you ever read a story that just goes on for a long time? It's probably because an editor didn't get to look at it and go, really, this is the same thing over and over and over again. I need an editor sometime because I say the same thing over and over again, those two things, right? But it's with purpose. The Gospel of John, and all the Gospels, and really the whole Bible, was edited. You know, somebody wrote it down and then somebody looked at it. In the Gospel of John, it couldn't have happened that someone just started writing and then it was done. Let's go through the reading a little bit today. What happens here? It was the first day of the week. The doors of the house were locked because the disciples were afraid. They were afraid of being arrested. They were afraid this whole crucifixion stuff, and then Jesus' body is gone. They don't know what to make of it, and they don't want to be in trouble. And then Jesus, through locked doors, they made a point to say that, through locked doors, he appears and says, "Peace be with you." He says, "Peace be with you" three times in this passage, so it's got to be important. But he says that to the disciples, and he shows them, "Look, it's really me. You can feel my hands, my side, everything. I'm really here." They were really excited about that. And then Jesus says something about sins. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. And people love to talk about that from a negative standpoint. And you know what? I'm going to say that it's there and not really discuss it today. It's part of the reading today, and I don't think it's a negative thing. I think it has more to do with forgive each other. That was Jesus' point. And then Thomas isn't there. This is the Doubting Thomas passage, right? Thomas, I don't know where he was, but it says he was a twin, and we're not sure who he was the twin of. He could have been the twin of one of the other disciples, but what if he was the twin of someone else, and he was visiting his family? It's like, well, I had a family thing. I couldn't be there in the locked room with you while you were all afraid. How many of you have family gatherings, and you go, well, I don't know what we're going to be doing? So maybe that's what Thomas was saying. But anyway, he didn't believe. Even though all the other disciples, they saw and they believed, Thomas didn't see, and so he gets the bad rap. All the other disciples don't get a bad rap for seeing and believing. They did it first. But he goes, I want to see it. He's with the disciples. I think that you're pulling my leg. Well, then Jesus appears again, and what do you think he says? Yeah, he says, peace be with you. And then he shows Thomas the holes and his side. He said, it's really me. And then he gives him a very short lecture about seeing and believing. He doesn't tell Thomas, you're awful for not believing right away. Thomas doubted. We all doubt. We want to see evidence. But Jesus did say, it's really cool if you can believe this without seeing. And I think he acknowledged that apparently none of my disciples can do this because I had to show all of them. And then there's the last part of the book, the part about the editing. Now, there's a little more written in the Gospel of John, but this sort of feels like it's an end. It says, Jesus did many other things. They're not written in the book. Why? Somebody decided that they weren't important enough in telling the story. Maybe they were repeats of similar things. Maybe there were just so many miracles or so many wonderful acts or so many stories that they didn't want the book to be too long, and they wanted to move the action along so that people would actually read this and learn something. It says, these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah. But there are many things that are not written. And I wish I knew what the not written stuff was, because don't you like to dig? You know, archaeologists like to dig. You like to find the unknown. Bible study or any kind of word study, you're like, well, what did they mean? You look at art. You know, we can't just look at Picasso or Rembrandt. We want to see what's underneath that. What did they paint first that they decided wasn't good enough that they painted over? And sometimes they do that X-ray spectrography. Am I using the right word? Any art people? Is that about right? Maybe I'm making up a word. I don't know. But we want to see what's underneath. So I want to see what's underneath this. What did Jesus do that's not written in the book? And there's a whole bunch of gospels or other stories of the life of Jesus that aren't written in this book, but are written in other books that aren't in the Bible. Some fun ones, too. Stuff like, we don't know much about Jesus when he was little. There's just the whole he was born, and then he was in the temple at about age 12, and then he was 30. You know, just like that. And there's things that, like, I don't want to tell you that this is exactly what happened, because there are stories that were determined not to be put into the Bible by editors who were deciding this shouldn't go. It's either not an important part of the story, we don't know if it's true, or let's just not put it in there. But there's these cool cases like Jesus is up on a roof playing because the kids played on the roof. And a little boy fell off the roof, and he didn't live falling off the roof. And so everyone started shouting, Jesus pushed him! And Jesus would have none of that, so he came down, brought the kid back to life, and said, you tell them, I didn't push you. So that's it's not in the Bible, but it's in a story about Jesus that somebody wrote. It's kind of an interesting one. And there's other ones where he would be down by the riverbank, and he would take clay and make it into the shape of a bird, and then make a bird, and the bird would fly away. Those are, yeah, they're kind of cool things. I wish that there was more stuff that we didn't know about from later times. There's an awful lot of tales that aren't in the Bible about Jesus, but I would like to get into that sometime and find out what wasn't written there. Mainly because it would be fun. But there's something else about what's not written in the book, because there is something that comes after. These things, you know, there's many things that aren't written, but then Jesus appears to his disciples, and there's Jesus and Peter, and there's Jesus and John. And actually, right at the end of the book, it says there are many other things Jesus did. But if they were all written down, I suppose that the world itself could not contain the books that would have been written. That's all history, stuff that happened. But what about the stuff that happened after this? Okay, so Jesus died, Jesus rose again, Jesus was back up in heaven, and then John's written about 100 years later. So they've had a lot of time to process it, for all the editing to happen, to get the story as right as they can get it. But then there's after that. And we are the United Church of Christ, where we say God is still speaking. The story isn't over, is it? The canon is closed. Okay, so we're not adding new books to the Bible, but the story is not over because Jesus is still inspiring us. Just the words of the Bible are inspirational enough, but there are things that that leads us to do, and that brings about modern-day prophets, people who speak truth, people who do things that change the world. Remember some. You know, Martin Luther King is a great example of someone who took this, but also said that the story isn't over yet. John Robinson was one of the preachers that was sending off the pilgrims before they came to the New World. And he said, there is yet more light to break forth from God's word. It's where the UCC kind of gets their God is Still Speaking initiative, where that whole campaign was born. That and Gracie Allen writing a letter to George Burns saying, hey, never place a period where God has placed a comma. It was when she was so ill, and she didn't want George Burns. All the adults know who George Burns is, and all the kids are like, who's George Burns? You have to watch really, really old black and white movies, or Oh God, which is a pretty good movie from the 70s, late 70s, John Denver and George Burns. And then Oh God, Book 2, not nearly as good. Yeah, sometimes the twos are not better, except for The Godfather. Godfather Part 2, better than the first one. Yeah, right? Can I get an amen to that? Yeah. So God is still speaking. There is yet more light to break forth from God's word. The story's not over. So when Jesus left, and then Jesus, you know, Jesus said, I'll come back again, but there's more to the story. There's more that's going on. Otherwise, there would be no need for us to meet. If God wasn't still active in the world, we'd just be looking at, you know, this is what God did, let's learn about it. But God wants us to do things now, which leads to the other not written. Today is an ending of sorts. It's the ending of me as your pastor, as I go on to something new. But it's not the end of Union Congregational Church, because the future is not written. We've written some fun future or fun history over the past, the last 5 years. Some things you'll remember really well, other things you won't remember really well until it's kind of a footnote, right? But the future of Union Congregational Church is not written, because there's going to be a congregation here tomorrow, and there's going to be a ham dinner on Wednesday, and there's going to be a fourth Tuesday after that. There's going to be a worship service next week. Bill Griesenhauer is going to be your preacher next week, and he's visiting with us today just to say, like, oh, okay, so taking notes, don't preach on that next week, right? There is so much to come. Union Congregational Church has been around for a long time. 1885, we were formed. Anybody here in 1885? No? There have been a lot of pastors here. It even has its seeds before that, in the 1848, maybe even a little before that, with the Presbyterian Church, Methodist Church. It's just, but we've been on this corner since 1885. Been in this building since 1902. Had the building next door, Fellowship Hall, that's all one building, since 1991. We've had the roof on this building for about 40 years, and we need to replace it. We'll probably be working on the roof of the new building from 1991, in short order as well. But the future of Union Congregational Church is not written at all. The future is there to look forward, to say that we are a church that lives out our mission, that we live out loving one another, that we live out those two rules, loving God and loving one another. And I know you're going to do that. I know that you wish me well, and you know that I wish you well. So goodbye is hard, but the future for Union Congregational Church, the future for me, the future of us as we go to whatever we do to serve God and to love one another, it isn't written. Thank you for letting me be your pastor. I wish you well. Peace be with you. God be with you. Amen.